lot of us traveled today. A lot of people are tired. There's been a lot who have labored. They've worked. They have put forth maximum effort. And there's some that have done absolutely nothing to help. But God still brought us here. There's some that'll just ride the coattails. There's some that'll work. There's some that'll do what's needed. And there's some that just will skate by. God's put us all in this place. He's put us here tonight. He's put us here this week. And God has a purpose. I watch people. Not uncouthly. Just watch people. I watch people receive the word of God with gladness. Some profess to be lost, but they receive the word of God gladly. There's some that profess to be saved, while the preachers preach, despise the word of God. There's some that just could care less about anything that goes on in the service, anything that's preached, anything that's said. Their hearts are so cold that they despise anything going on because they don't want anything to mess up their perfect little world that they live in. And there's some that have had their heart pierced by the good word of God. Our desire, my desire, is that before we leave this week, every one of us here would have our heart pierced by the word of God. As we go home tonight, we ought to examine ourselves. It would do some of you good because you may have never done it. And it doesn't have to be off the wall. It doesn't have to be a show of the flesh. Just you and the Lord. And it would do you good to look into the heavens, the starry night, and just say, Lord, where do I stand with you? And wait for an answer. You see, I've asked that many times, Lord, where do I stand with you? And the sad thing is, I'm so carnal, I know where I stand. It's just a show of my flesh, like I'm going to impress the Lord with my spirituality. Lord, where do I stand with you? Like I don't know. But there's times I don't know. And I would say there's probably more in here that don't know than do know. Would it be wrong for us to say, search me, O God, and know my heart. And see. You see, the thought is we don't think we have any wickedness in us. So why did the psalmist say, see if there be any wicked thing in me? Why? Because the potential's there. And if it's there, you may not know it's there. The only thing that's going to root it out is the word of God. I want to thank you men that preached. I want to thank those of you that have labored. We have worked and labored. And I told my wife, I said, honey, what I try to do is I plan to the umpth degree. And that's just me. You don't have to be like me. That's what I do. You can ask Sister Vadis, Brother John, others. I plan to the umpth degree. We have a song leader that forgot one pen mark and his life was absolutely thrown out of kilter. I plan to the umpth degree, Brother Hayden. Yeah. I understand. But you know it's all in God's hands now.
That's right.
There's nothing left to do but to preach and to pray and to seek the Lord. There's nothing left. The beds have been built. The mattresses have been placed. The bedding's on the beds. The hotel rooms have been reserved. Meals have been prepared. There's a carton, a container of bacon, cooked bacon that weighs 5 pounds on the counter at the Vadis home. I've enjoyed just holding it. I'm looking forward to it. If that's an offense to you, then I'm sure we can find some turkey bacon. But all these things have been planned, and it's been planned for you. For you. You see, I would say this. Well, I planned all this for these young people and you visitors, but I need this more than they do. And all my planning, I lost sight of that. My wife and I sat down, I believe it was Friday when it was raining, maybe Saturday, and I said, honey, we need this meeting. And all this has been planned, but now it's in God's hands.
That's right, brother. Yep.
But it's up to me to get what I need out of it. And it's up to you to get what you need from the Lord. If you've hardened your heart already, you're in danger.
Yeah, That's right.
But if you'll let God soften your heart, let God break your heart. We've heard three messages tonight. That wasn't just a little outburst, you know, by Brother David Vernon. God gave him a message.
Sure.
It wasn't a cop-out that he went and sat down. God gave him a message. It wasn't just Brother Zach Vernon up here. He's sick as a dog. And I know he didn't feel like preaching, but God gave him a message.
Amen.
I don't know if God gave Brother John a message, but I told him to. I gave him a message, okay? But the Lord, I believe, used it. I believe it was what was needed to kick off the meeting. And Brother John said some things that certainly helped us along. I ask you preachers to work with me. If you have the message and I didn't call you, you just pray the Lord will let me know next time.
Amen, brother. Yeah.
Amen. And I ask you singers to work with us. I want you to glorify God. If you have a song and you have a legitimate song and you there's a song in your heart and it doesn't have bongo drums and an interpretive dance to go along with it, and you feel it, then you come to me and you say, Brother Tim, I have a song. And I feel, you know, and I'll make that determination. I might have to seek counsel, but I'll make that determination. There's others we've asked to sing. Some people have a gift for singing. Some do not have a gift for singing. And so the Lord's put all these things together for us. If you can be here tomorrow, we'd love to have you. We're going to start at 10 o'clock, brother, for the services. Is that correct? We try to be prompt, 10 o'clock prompt. When the bell rings, we start. And breakfast, for those of you that are staying in the area that do not have other breakfast options that are free. We don't want you to go to McDonald's. We don't want you to go anywhere else. But there's breakfast for those of you staying. Some of you are staying across town. You're welcome to come at 8:30. The young ladies that are traveling will be making the breakfast and food's provided. Some things are made. But that's available. If you have any questions, that's available to you. You just come and ask. And we'll certainly make arrangements for that. It's for out-of-town guests is what that's for. But if anybody doesn't have a place to eat breakfast, I want you to come. And if you're in the area and you have people staying in your home, then please come eat breakfast. Sister Jennifer, you and your family, come eat breakfast, please. You know Mrs. Vadis. Those of you that do not know her, she'll be feeding 15 people. And that meal will feed 15 people five times. And so we'll have that available. Brother John, I have nothing else. You're the pastor of this church. If you have nothing else, we're going to just unhitch
just
here.
A couple things here.
Yes, sir.
A lot of this from Brother Zach preaching. He talked about that idea. Paul says he went door to door. There's so many churches today still out there going door to door. Paul said he did it with tears.
That's it. That's it.
He did it with tears. Well, Al Warren has not been doing it with tears.
No.
I had a young lady in my church crying tonight. Tears for another young lady. You know, we have some young people come here. Fall in love with him for a week. Brother McVeigh is in these services. Ask us to pray for those young people all through the year. And some of these young ladies and some of these young kids are going to go back to fine families. I mean good families. I mean where it's just clean to be in that house and it's right with God. And they go into the churches and it's a pleasing place to be in that house.
Yeah.
We have others that are going to go into homes and it's nothing like that.
Yes.
Dog eat dogs and jungle in that home. They're literally hell in that home. Yeah. We watch them leave. One young lady has become dear to a family in this church. Dear. We watched over the last couple years as she's come to fruition as a woman. But only God understands why young ladies come to fruition as a woman so young. There's no one there to guide her. No one there to teach her how what her body's for. Hear it here one time for 5 days. Yields herself to some young man that could never love her. Could never provide for her. Could never care for her. And all the things the Word of God says, her body's addicted to him. And she's become one flesh and loves him, and he's just one of the many foul people of the world.
Right.
And we so long that she could come here this week. So long. Jennifer and Audie begged God and just wanted so bad. And I wanted so bad, Brother McDavid wanted so bad that young lady could go. Because if there's any two women in the world that could minister to her, Jennifer and Audie could. And slowly. And the old Jennifer down there, pastor, just eyes just full of tears. Just full of tears, and I just had to remind her what Paul said. Being mindful of thy tears, he told him. Mindful of thy tears. David said, oh, my tears. And then I have a bottle of them. I don't know what's going to ever happen in America, but I know one thing. There's no tears left for the lost. No tears. No tears. I hope God gives us some tears.
Yes,
D.L. Moody talked about when his Sunday school teacher came into his place of work. D.L. Moody had been going to Sunday school for quite a long time. Quite a while. Sunday school teacher watched him. Now, if he gone to a Sunday school today, he never could have been saved because they were going through a prayer.
That's right.
One day, I'm a better parent.
Yep.
Stamp 666 on his forehead, said, you're saved. Don't let anybody ever tell you you're not saved if you've never been saved. There, you can't get a person saved like that. They get convinced that they're already saved, and God meets them meeting after meeting after meeting, but they won't repent because someone's told them they're already saved. D.L. Moody, Sunday school teacher, watched him. One day, that boy raised his hand and asked a question. The Sunday school teacher rejoiced because for once this boy paid attention to class. For once he realized something was going on. That teacher was so concerned. And the day came, he said, I went to the boy's workplace. See, I've read the Sunday school teacher's testimony. He went to the boy's workplace, and he stood outside. He didn't want to embarrass the boy going inside in front of his friends and other work people. And he prayed, and he knew God had answered his prayers because the boy was all by himself. D.L. Moody said this. He said he was so surprised to see that man walk through the door. That was his Sunday school teacher. D.L. Moody said, up to that day, he said, I didn't even realize I had a soul. But here was a man with his hand on my shoulder, weeping for my sin. Weeping for my sin. Weeping for my sin. Tears. They didn't go forth sowing tears. Tears. We don't have mourners benches in churches anymore because we don't have mourners.
That's right.
Churches won't let people mourn. They won't let them mourn. They won't let them be lost. They won't let them sit there and stew until God brings them to a place where they want nothing more but Jesus Christ. And you will never be saved, never be saved, never be saved until God's brought you to a point where you want nothing more.
That's right.
Now, I don't care. You can pray Romans 10:13 till the spittle runs down your ear. Because the next verse says, how shall they call upon him who they have not believed?
Right.
Unless God has wrought saving faith in you, you can't believe it, you can't call on him. You can't do it. You know who he said this? He said, here I was. You know I had a soul, and here's a man weeping over my sin. And he said, the man then left. The elderly went in the back room. The man didn't even force him into a prayer. Went in the back room. And found that blessed assurance that the man had spoken.
Amen.
Why don't we have those kind of conversions today? Because everybody believes in this quick microwave salvation.
Right. Yep.
And it's damned.
Yes, it has.
I've got people in here, you're damned with it. You're damned with it.
Yes.
You're damned with it.
and you can't get it straight, you can't repent. Y'all, imagine me getting angry right now, really bad. And I go out there and I get in my car and I'm so in reverse, I'm short in church, I'm really angry. And I'm feeling that. I run over her little boy. We don't learn things like that. They come, the EMTs and such, Peter's trained to handle that kind of thing with the fire department. They come there, he's gone. Dead. Everybody's weeping. I come back and I drive back in, realize what I've done, and I go to Tanya and I say, if I've done anything wrong, would you forgive me? Would anybody see that as acceptable? No. I have people, oh Lord, if I'm lost, would you save me?
Right. Right.
You better get saved with a prayer like that.
If I'm lost, if I happen to deserve hell, if I'm one of the people guilty of deeds of being on a cross, would you save me?
No, you'll never get saved until you know why.
That's right.
Jesus had to die for you, and you understand it. When you desire Jesus Christ more than any other thing. And I've known some people that came to pretty quickly. John Wesley took him over 6 months. Adoniram Judson took him over 2 years. Peter Cartwright, 6 weeks on an altar.
That's right, brother, yeah.
They couldn't get saved in our churches today because we wouldn't let them in 6 weeks on an altar.
That's right.
Couldn't get saved in our churches today. Adoniram Judson couldn't get saved in our churches today. We'd have taken him and run him through a prayer and told him, never, don't worry about it. Those doubts, here's the Spirit of God coming to him. Oh, that's just the devil. That's just the devil.
That's
look,
right.
Here's the verse says you're saved.
That's right.
See, the Bible says when God comes, he comes in full assurance. Full assurance. You say, I can't ever get that. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle.
Oh, yes.
It's a miracle that God would ever do that for you. It's a miracle that God would give you saving it. I know not how the Spirit came and convinced me of sin. How believing in his word brought peace within my heart. I don't know how it happened. It was just a miracle. And then you have that peace and assurance. Where the Spirit weareth witness with our spirit, we are the children of God. Old John Wesley standing on the shores of Savannah, Georgia, and Peter Boehner, an Anabaptist, told him, he said, Mr. Wesley, unless you have that assurance, you're lost. Unless you have that assurance, you're lost. Mr. Wesley looked in the Word of God, and the Word of God says the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And Mr. Wesley said, I don't have that. Now, he couldn't get saved in our churches today because everybody was telling you we don't need that. You pray that prayer. How come Jesus never led anybody that prayer? Why didn't Jesus? Jesus must be stupid. Now, that's blasphemous, isn't it? Well, why did he just lead the rich young ruler in the sinner's prayer? Why did the Apostle Paul stand up on Mars Hill?
How about that?
Why didn't he just lead everybody in the sinner's prayer?
Right.
Is Paul stupid? What? What? How come nobody ever does soul winning in the Bible like they do in churches today? You know why? Because they wanted people to go to heaven, not to hell. We have damned this nation. Run around and told everybody they're saved.
Right, right, brother, yeah.
Told them they're saved, and there's no fruit of it whatsoever. There's no fruit of salvation. None. None. You know what they say when the Chernobyl nuclear accident happened? Some Russian engineers misunderstood which of the two reactors was working. And they shut the water off to one to do some repairs. And you know what? Alarms went off. That's what it was supposed to do. It's a fail-safe. There's no water going through it. And they got mad. The alarm was going off. They were so convinced that they understood what was going on, they overrode the alarms. They were so convinced they had it right, they overrode the alarms. And pretty soon some things are melting and more alarms went off. Now they're cussing and mad. Oh my goodness, believe it. And they've overrode those alarms. And it's my understanding it was 4 or 5 layers of alarms they managed to override. And the reactor melted down. Ruth Ann, I know a woman whose daughter was visiting at that time. For the rest of her life, she has to go and be checked every year with cancers and everything else. How many of you just keep overriding alarms, convincing yourself it doesn't matter, convincing yourself it's all okay? What we're here for this week, to help you to understand who the God of Israel is, and his great love to the Gentiles, his great love to you, his care for you, and to help you quit shutting those alarms off.
Right.
Brother, close us in prayer.
Father, we intend to love Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the help that you've ministered to us. I pray the Lord you move in the night hour and speak to hearts. Help us to come tomorrow prepared to receive the word of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.